my friends. How are you doing? My name is Heather Choate. I'm super excited and grateful to be with you guys. So welcome here to the Thriving Marriage. This is our Thriving Marriage podcast. I'm streaming it live in our Thriving Marriage Facebook group. I see some of you joining me. If you can see and hear me okay, give me a thumbs up. Let me know in the comments. Say yes and welcome if you want to have a spouse that chases after you instead of you always being the one chasing after them. Then this is going to be for you. I'm going to show you exactly how we are helping dozens of couples right now going through the same process that you might be going through, and their spouse is literally the one that is pursuing them. So if you want to flip that switch and have your spouse chase after you, then this is going to be for you. If you're excited, let me know. Leave a comment, say, my spouse chase me, or just chase me. Awesome. Welcome, Donna. I can see you watching. Hey, my friend, how are you doing, girl? And you guys let me know if you have any questions during the live stream, and I will make sure that I answer them as best as I can, or I'll get back to you right after. So here we are talking about step two of our path process. And this is where your spouse is actually going to want to spend more time with you as they become attracted to you again. Awesome. Hey, I think it's, I'm not sure how to say your name. Jer? Donna, yes. Chase me. Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. All right. Before I get into this process though, that's part of our path process, I want to share a win from one of the members of this group here in the Thriving Marriage. She says, we are back home properly after 8 weeks of hell, and we slept wonderfully cuddled up all night. So grateful to the God of immeasurably more. So that's really awesome. Okay, Gerardo, thank you. And Andre's joining. Awesome. Welcome. Excited to have you guys here. So for some of you who may be new to High Thrive Coaching, I'm Heather Cho. I'm one of the co-owners and co-founders of High Thrive Coaching with my partner, Mark Johnston. And we have created a scientifically proven four-step process that will take you from point A. Where are you guys at right now? Leave a comment. Let me know. What is your point A? Where is your marriage at right now? What are the things that are going on? If you're watching the replay, still go ahead, leave me a comment. We read every single one of them. So where are you at right now? Point A, you might be unhappy. You might be distant. They might not be talking to you. They may be saying, I want a divorce. They may be saying, I'm in love with someone else. Or they may be saying, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, right? So all of these things that are going on right now. Yep. So Gerardo's saying you're separated currently. All right. So that is your point A. And I think it's really wise for each of us just to say, you know, I am where I am. I think we invest a lot of emotional energy sometimes into resisting what's actually going on instead of just saying, you know what, this is where I am. And it doesn't mean that that's where I'm always going to be. So recognize I am where I am. And we take you from this point A place, distant, unhappy, separated, on the verge of divorce, having them want out, unwilling to talk to you, right? To point B, where do you really want to go in your marriage? Back together with your spouse, crazy in love, more than ever even before, able to communicate and talk about anything, feeling like you are accepted for who you really are and that your spouse can be accepted for who they really are, right? Have that love that you've always been craving in your heart. So leave a comment. Let me know, where would you love for your marriage to be? Right, Donna, you said, I am divorced 4.5 months, and I know that you're working to see if there's possibility there of reconciling. Let me know in the comments here, where would you love for your marriage to be? Don says, welcome, Don. He's filing for divorce. All right, thank you. And Andre, separated for 21 months, still talk and basically friendly. Awesome. Okay, so you still talk. That's really, really helpful and really, really hopeful. So that's good. All right. And Gerardo says, bliss. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? So what we're going to show you how to do is how to get from point A to where you want to be, point B. And we help you identify how you may be unintentionally pushing your spouse away, because so many times we think we're doing the right things, or we're like exhausting ourselves trying to do all of the things and none of it's working. And not only is it not working, so it's ineffective, it could also actually be backfiring. So your really well-intentioned efforts may actually be the very thing that's preventing them from coming back. Now, that may sound really hopeless, but it's not. And I want you to know it's just simply that you need to know what it actually takes to draw you back together, what it takes to heal a relationship, even when it's on the fritz, right? And I've been there myself, so I know of what I'm talking. And we'll show you and help you understand how you can pull your spouse back to you so that you are drawn back together naturally and effortlessly. Now, a couple weeks ago, I shared step one of this process, and that is the pause button. If you have not watched that episode yet, I encourage you to go check it out. We'll leave a link to that in the comments here on Facebook. If you're watching the replay later on YouTube or Spotify or whatever podcast thing you listen to, then go ahead and check out the previous episode about the pause button. One of the really important things that I love that we do, that Mark and I do here at High Thrive, is we always solve problems in order. And it's vital that you do not skip steps. So if your spouse has not hit the pause button, meaning that they are still pulling away from you more, they're still talking about divorce, they're still moving forward with separation, they're still having an affair, then we need to get your spouse to hit that pause button first. So here's a bit of a recap, just in case you need a refresher or if you are new to this. There are four steps. The first one is the pause button. Today, we're talking about step two. And in step two is where they, your spouse, takes steps towards you. They chase after you. They start pursuing you. They open up opportunities to connect deeper with you. Then step three is where we build and deepen connection and we resolve any lingering issues or unhealthy patterns between you so that you can start a new, healthy, beautiful relationship together. And then step four is commitment. And this is where your spouse gives you their heart fully again. Many people, when they're in this experience, in this situation where your spouse is saying, I want out, I want a divorce, I'm having an affair, I don't love you, you want to go immediately for what step? Like we talked about this before, right? Some of you here in the group know. You immediately want to go for either connection or commitment. And if you do, it's really normal and it's really natural, but it will backfire. It will backfire because you're not ready for that to be part of the relationship right now. And I know that seems backwards because you're like, Heather, we've been married 20 years. How can I not expect their commitment? I mean, they made a vow. And I get you. I know what you're saying. However, we need to solve the problems in the right order, because if your spouse already wants out, then pushing for this connection or this commitment first will backfire. So, part of that experience that we bring to the table here is that we've helped so many thousands of clients now. And so we've seen that there are really common trends and really common mistakes that a lot of people make. And I really don't want you to make one of those. So let's just be mindful about any of those mistakes that could be made and choose to do things in a different way. I'm here to help guide you and support you along the journey. So we've hit the pause button. And if not, make sure you go back, listen to that episode and talk to us. We will help your spouse hit the pause button in just a few weeks or less, so they're no longer pulling away more. Now we go to step two, which is having your spouse want to be with you and to chase after you and to take steps towards you. So it's really important that we don't just go from like momentum of the trains, like going this way, you know, your spouse is like pedal to the metal, going off the bridge, right, into the canyon. We're not just going to be able to get that momentum and completely turn it around so that now they're coming after you. Right? It just doesn't even make any sense, right? What we want them to do is slow down that train, slow down that momentum, pause. And now that they've paused and you've created some space, they will feel a difference. It will get their attention. And then they will get curious about why things are now different between you two. Right? And when they get this curiosity going on, they will start to take some steps towards you. And that is what we accomplish here in step two. Making sense? Let me know in the chat if you guys have any questions about the big picture. So now let's dive deep into step two. And this is where we talk about flipping an emotional switch. And what I'm about to tell you is going to help trigger this really uncontrollable, almost instinctual desire that human beings have to be with someone that they are interested in and that they are attracted to. Okay. And so our goal here is to have them want you and want to spend more time with you. So let me know in the chat or the comments here. Are they wanting to spend time with you right now? Have you already kind of achieved this step? They've hit the pause button. Now they want to spend time with you. They want to talk with you about things. They're asking you on dates. They're open to spending time together as a family or one-on-one. So let me know. All right, William's joining us here. Awesome. You're separated and filed for divorce. Casey said she is waiting for divorce. Yeah, so a lot of you guys in the same kind of situation here. Gerard says, in a good, positive place and loving towards each other. That's where you want your marriage to be. Gotcha. Going, catching up on some comments from our discussion earlier. Lindsay says, no, he wants nothing to do with me. He says he hates me. All right, Lindsay. So he has a very negative narrative about you and the marriage right now. So we definitely want to make sure that we turn that around quickly. Awesome. And I appreciate that. Thank you. My assistant here is amazing. Angelica, I believe, hit the pause button. She shared the link to the other episode to get you guys some help if you have not hit the pause button yet. So if they are not wanting to spend time with you right now, then no, it just simply means that you have not hit this milestone yet. Okay. And if it feels like they're hot 1 minute and cold another minute, that is actually another sign that you are approaching this milestone because they might stay they, getting tongue-tied. They might take steps towards you, but then all of a sudden they pull away. And maybe they're really warm and affectionate, and then all of a sudden they freak out and they like run away again, right? Or they close off. Or maybe they get really, volatile and angry again all of a sudden. And so this is actually a really normal part of the process, and it means that you are approaching step two, okay? All right, I'm gonna go here and check some of the comments. Awesome. So Don says he is living downstate, but when he's here for, oh no, I lost it. It moved on. More comments came in and it moved. All right, let me see if I can catch up with it. All right, he's living downstate, but oh shoot, sorry. This is awkward as it's like new comments are coming in to try to keep up with them. All right, I got this. All right. When he's here for a few days, a week ago, he acts as if everything's fine. But when he went back, he sent me a link to a house for me to rent. Yeah, exactly. So that's a little bit of that hot and cold. Hi, Chill. I've been talking to you. How are you doing? We went to a mediator almost a month ago. Let's see. Back after we were separated. We're supposed to go back after a week and sign separation papers. No talk of it since. She asked me to hang out for Christmas parade on Sunday. Okay. So that's really encouraging. It means that you might be getting close to that pause button and her taking steps towards you now that she's inviting you to do things with Christmas. Awesome. All right. So if you haven't hit this milestone again, it just simply means that you haven't learned what it's going to take to get there. And the good news is that I'm going to share it with you. So I want to see if you guys can think about what the most powerful emotion is. Okay. Because there is one emotion that is so powerful, it is so all-consuming, it will cause your spouse to come running back to you, no matter how convinced you or they are that it is over. So can you guys guess what it is? Leave me a comment in the chat and let me know. All right, Jason, sorry if I missed your comment. They're kind of coming in, it's like scrolling up and down the page there. So I will see if I can come back to it. Yeah, I've got some comments coming in. What is the most powerful emotion? All right, desire, love, hope. Awesome. I can tell we have some really A plus students here that have been listening to us for a while. That's beautiful. All right. So most people think that all you need is love, right? And we hear that all the time. All you need is love, and love is the most powerful, amazing thing. And love is amazing, and love is beautiful. But if you do not have this one thing, then love is not enough. And this is why you may be hearing, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. All right, also got some different ones coming in. Faith and empathy. I've never heard those ones before. Connection. Awesome. Yeah, thank you guys. Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely come back to that, Jason, if I can here. Empathy. Okay. So it is not love, It is actually desire. And when I'm talking about desire, I'm not just talking about sexual desire or physical desire, although that can be part of it. It's our desire is what drives our motives. If we have no desire to do something, then we won't do it, right? So some people call this like the spark. Others refer to it as chemistry. It's at the beginning of every new attraction, right? It's the wanting of something that you don't have, or the something that you are wanting to experience in the future, right? You don't have it yet. So it's the feeling of being like magnetically pulled towards someone. It's the pull to talk for hours with someone that you really like. You want to know everything about them. You want to be with them day and night. You know, even if they just accidentally graze your hand, it just fills you with that like electric charge, right? And every moment together is filled with just this heart pounding exhilaration. And the more time you spend together, the more you want to spend time together, right? So we've all experienced this. Some people call it cloud nine. Some people call it, head over heels in love. And what happens is this is the initial attraction phase, right? As you get to know each other better and you develop a better connection, then comes this deeper level of love. And that's when the feelings of excitement are replaced with feelings of more security and predictability and comfort. Now, how is any of this relevant to getting the back? Okay. Because we, as marriage experts here, look at relationships in like these arcs, and we look for these different indicators of what is going on underneath the surface and what is the story of the relationship. So, how is it relevant to getting them back? Well, as feelings of love usually grows between you, then feelings of this heightened level of desire and passion, right, most likely become suppressed or they start to wane. As a couple, you probably became less spontaneous, maybe a little less playful or affectionate, and maybe you got stuck in a routine or a rut. If you guys have been following us before, you'll know that Mark here talks a lot about like pressures of careers, of children, finances, health, age. Add a feeling kind of heaviness to you and your spouse, and you may even feel or hear them say that we lost the spark and we don't have any romance or passion anymore, right? And no matter how much love there is, when desire dies, so does a big part of the relationship. So the relationship as you knew it is actually over. And that's the good news. The good news? Like, Heather, what are you talking about? Yes. So right now, by the virtue of the fact that they're pulling away, that they're separating and they're wanting out, you are actually uniquely poised to reignite desire in them, as strong as it was, if not stronger than when you were first attracted to each other. And I've seen this happen over and over, and it's a really beautiful thing because when you reignite the spark of desire in them, now you have underlying all of that, this rich history, this rich connection that builds an amazing relationship better than it's ever been before. So what's going on here is that it's a matter of flipping that emotional switch. I talk about emotional switch. No, it's not. There's no actual switch. Like, we're not robots. Like, I'm shopping for Christmas toys, so I've got toys in my mind, right? So there's no like physical switch, but it's an emotional switch, and it's either turned on or off. And if your spouse is wanting out, if they're wanting a divorce, if they say, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, right? If they're separated, then most likely the switch is pretty much turned to off for you. But the good news is that we're going to flip that switch to on, okay? And you know how to do that more than any other man or woman in the world for your husband or wife, because guess what? You've actually done it before. And guess what? That means you can do it again. But you need to recognize that you need guidance on how to do that usually, right? Because you've got all this other stuff going on, you need clarity on how to accomplish that. So, yes, my friend, you have a huge advantage over any other man, over any other woman out there, because you know that you were attracted to them before and you know that you were great together, right? What often happens though is that you just lost that spark. Maybe you let unhealthy patterns, issues get in the way, and they made their choices and they let issues get in the way and you made your choices, right? And that's maybe why they say they need quote unquote space, or they started to pull away, or they wanted out. That's what this really means when they're saying, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. It means that they've lost their desire for you. And this is again why desire is actually more powerful than love. And the good news is that you can get it back, and it's easier than you might realize when you do it the right way. Right now, what you might be doing, because it's very common, I don't know for sure because I can't talk to every single one of you one-on-one right now, as much as I'd love to, is that most likely you're actually letting your fear repel their desire for you even more. You're afraid, you're in tension, you're in freak out mode, and it's pulling, having them want even more space, and it's kind of repelling them from you. Even if you're trying to go about it in all the good positive ways, if you're still doing it from this underlying state of desperation, it will not feel safe to them and they will not have a desire to work on things, right? Now, remember at the beginning, I talked about solving problems in order. So, one of the biggest mistakes that so many people are doing and that you might be doing right now is trying to resolve really deep issues, trying to get their commitment, trying to get this connection going between you when you don't have any desire on their part to do so. Right? And that's why so often we hear that it takes two to tango and that I can't do anything if I don't have a willing spouse. Yes, you need a willing spouse, but you have to recognize that there are things that you can do to increase their willingness. I had asked you guys a question here in the Thriving Marriage about a week or so ago. Like, what do you think it takes to get a marriage restored when your spouse wants out? Is it better communication? Is it guidance from a coach? Is it a step-by-step process? I'd love to hear your comments too. What do you guys think you need to get things going in the right direction? And then I also put a willing spouse. And that by and far was the highest voted response. I think it was like 67% of you guys said, I need a willing spouse. And I said, you're right. And we'll show you how to have your spouse become willing, even if they aren't right now. In fact, that's exactly what we specialize in, right? It's how to save your marriage on your own. Be the one that goes first and encourage your spouse to want to be with you. Okay. So if we try to resolve deep issues, if we try to push for their connection or commitment, if you try to get them to work on things right now and you don't have any desire on their part to do so, we know that that's futile and that is not going to work. And that's not what any of us are saying you should do because that's like trying to drag that stupid camel to water, right? I'm not saying your spouse is stupid. I'm saying the camel's stupid in the analogy, right? But you can kick, you can scream, you can bribe, you can remind them of your marriage vows, right? You can demand, you must work on things with me. You can send them pictures of all your happy times together, right? You can try to convince them all you want. But we know if the camel isn't thirsty, it's not going to drink. So how many of us are like trying to drag that stubborn camel to water and forcing it to drink? Let me know in the comments here, what have you already done to try and solve this issue and the state of your relationship? And why do you think those things haven't worked? Okay. So let me know over in the chat. I'll keep looking over at your answers. And again, we will answer all the comments for the replay as well. Does distance create desire? So the short answer is no. Distance can create space, and sometimes space gives a cooling off period that allows tension to become reduced so that then you can re-engage when things are calmed down. Distance in and of itself is not an end goal, obviously, and it is not a solution in and of itself unless it's coupled with action on how to reconnect and how to end that separation period. And so when you hear about like so many days of no contact, blah, 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 it usually is very ineffective and it completely backfires. Occasionally, Mark and I, when we're working with a client, will say, hey, we need to give some space here, but here's the plan after the space, okay? Because the space in of itself does not create desire usually. Now, when we talk about wanting what you don't have, some people go into really manipulative types of behaviors, and I want to address those real quick. We are not doing anything to try to manipulate our spouse to come back ever because it will not work. And if it does work, it will not get you where you want to be in the long term because no one wants to be manipulated to come back at any level, emotional, social, any reason, right? So if you're saying, Like, if you do the whole thing of like pretending to have other people interested in you, or pretending to have an affair, or pretending that all these people want you, like we do these things, right? I've done them. It's not pretty. We do those things like to try to get our spouse to see what they're missing. Those are all manipulations. And that is not going to help get the healthy level of desire that I'm talking about. We're going to do it in the right way, the way that actually works. And it's not a manipulation at all. It's simply allowing you to be your true, genuine self and them to see you as your true, genuine self. And for you to pull back the layers and the story and all the emotional reasons why this and that and the, we're going to peel it all back and see them as they really are. And when you both see each other as you really are and you build up this level of safety and respect and empathy in the relationship, you will be drawn back together naturally and effortlessly, and everything falls into the right place. Okay, everything turns out exactly as it's meant to. Is that making sense? All right. Awesome. Good question there. I appreciate that one. All right. All right, so Chill says we currently have our house listed. She called me last and we decided to take it off market until the holidays, hoping this temporary situation becomes permanent. Yeah, so that's, yeah, there's definitely a lot of momentum that we need to get going on that with you, Chill. All right, respect his boundaries. Beautiful. Thank you, Donna. All right, so let me know, what have you guys done to try to solve this? Have you done counseling? Have you gone to therapy? Have you watched the YouTube videos, right? Have you done all those things? Have you taken the advice of your friends and your colleagues and your peers and your family members, right? And so, why do you think that those things haven't worked? Have you tried to work on yourself? Like we talk about that too, right? All the self-improvement in the world is great for you, but if your spouse doesn't want to be with you, in and of itself, that's not the solution. Agreed? So see, right now, if you and your spouse, if you are not blissfully in love, it means that you're like most people out there that do not know how to have a healthy relationship. And what you're missing is that you're missing their desire. And their desire will make the rest unfold exactly as it's meant to. In our coaching, we coach our clients literally word for word in their own words, but we guide them like, here's exactly what you should say, and here's how to say it, and when to say it, so that you can reignite that spark of desire. We show them what to text their spouse, how to have in-person conversations, so that your efforts don't keep backfiring, and you can just stop unintentionally pushing your spouse further away, and show you exactly what to do to have your spouse naturally feel that attraction for you again. All right, I got some comments coming in. Dawn says counseling actually made it worse. And Megan, thanks Megan for joining. I'm trying rekindle with my husband, but we have been separated a year and that and almost divorced. There's a lot of hurt. Yeah, there is. And so what we want to do is take things step by step so that that can heal and your spouse can start to take some steps towards you. Okay. All right. So the first step being your spouse hits the pause button, right? And now we're going to show you how to flip that emotional switch so that their desire is going to be rekindled for you. They want to be with you. They start taking steps towards you. And these steps are meant to draw your spouse back to you so they naturally want to be with you in the healthiest, most beautiful, and lasting way. Now, I'm really painting an incredible picture here, and I want you to realize that this is where you can go and what you can achieve when you go through this, but it takes time. And when we're talking about a relationship that's on the verge of divorce, that's on, like the fritz, that's, separation for a long time, affairs going on, then it's going to be a process, but it can happen quicker than you might think or realize when you do it the right way. So, some of the things that we help our clients with, a little bit of an inside peek, okay? When we have them hit the pause button and their spouse is no longer talking about divorce, they're no longer pulling away more, they end the affair, they're no longer pushing for separation. Maybe they even consider the possibility of staying, a possibility of coming back, right? Then we look at exactly what it's going to take here with you and your spouse. We look at our clients and their marriage and determine exactly what it's going to take to help flip that switch. A lot of it goes back to what Donna mentioned earlier about respect. There's going to be certain things that you might be doing that you don't realize they are viewing as you not listening to them, you not caring about them, you not respecting them. And when you can start to shift the pattern around those things, then it's really going to change the way that they're perceiving you, the story that they have about you. And they will realize, oh my goodness, there's something different here. I'm curious about what it is. And that is when they start to take steps towards you. So we help you in the one-on-one coaching. We get to sit down with you, go deep into what's going on in your marriage, and identify what is it going to take for your spouse to get curious about you. So what is it going to take for them to stop, pause, give some time, slow down the momentum, stop the momentum from going off the tracks, right? Hit the pause button. And then what is it going to take here to get some curiosity about Megan, about Jason, about Chill and Dawn, all right, and Donna, and everyone else here? Yep. Hi, Natty. Lindsay, yep. What is it going to take to get them curious about what's going on and for them to want to actually spend more time with you? And that is going to be a really custom approach because you are completely unique. Your marriage situation is completely unique. Agreed? And so that's one of the things that we do in our one-on-one coaching. So if you want more solutions to that, then just type in flip the switch in the comments and we will show you how we can help you in the coaching to do that. Because I can't just give like blanket advice in this area, because if I do, if I share with what worked with this one couple, it may or may not be the right thing for you, and it may actually completely backfire, and that's not what I want. And so this is where it gets a little tricky for us, because we want to help as many people as we can, but we don't want to give advice that is going to be ineffective or make anything worse. So if you guys want to help have us help you flip the switch, then comment flip the switch and we will reach out to you and show you how coaching can help you get there fast. All right. Once you have flipped that switch though, even if it's like a little bit of on off, on off, on off, remember I talked about the teeter-totter effect, the hot, cold, right? They're warm towards you and then they close off. They want to be with you and then they pull away. They say, hey, let's hang out for Christmas. Actually, that they're gonna blow up, right? And they're gonna get into blame and run back to their affair partner, right? All right. So this is the process, okay? What we help you do is get that flip, sorry, the switch flipped towards you more often than not until it stays there. And that's what happens in step three, is it starts to stay there and you no longer have more of the back and forth. Okay. All right. I'm seeing Megan has a comment, so I'm going to go to that real quick. I'm trying to kindle a husband, but we've been separated a year. But yeah, there's a lot of hurt. I'm seeing if I got all your comments there. I know we need time. It's so hard, and he is with someone else. All right, question. So what's your exact question about that, Megan? I'm happy to help you. All right. Yeah, is it diagnosed narcissism, Francisco? Welcome and thanks for joining. Unless it's diagnosed, then that's a we need to know for sure, because diagnosed narcissism is actually very, very rare. And true narcissism is actually a very, very small percentage of the population. It's a bit of a buzzword, and I'm not saying that they might, you know, they're probably being selfish, but the reality is most of us are selfish. And most of us are self-centered, especially in these situations. We tend to go to instinct mode and protect ourselves and behave in very low value ways. There are behavior patterns going on there that we can absolutely help you break. And we have dealt with only actually a very, very small percentage of people that had true narcissism, and we're still able to create healthy boundaries around that. So let me know what's going on, and we can definitely go deeper into that. So, all right, I want you to imagine though, as we get to this place where you're going through your spouse wanting to spend time with you, wanting to talk with you, opening up and sharing things, even if they're not talking right now, will help you identify how to increase some communication, how to increase some time together. If you're not living together, how do you increase some one-on-one time that is acceptable to everyone and feels good to everyone, right? And as you do this, you'll be really amazed at how calm, how confident, how in control you feel about getting your spouse back in love with you. And that's one of the greatest things that I love is our spouse, or sorry, not our spouse, our clients talk about is they shift from this state of overwhelm, uncertainty, so much confusion, so much pain, not knowing what's really going on, to knowing that they actually have solutions now. They have clarity on what's really going on, and they have the exact steps given to them on what to do. Like I said, what to text them, what to say in front of them, how to react when they do this, how to process through these emotions when this thing happens, right? And it's an immense amount of relief that our clients feel right off the bat. And it helps you approach things in a very calm, confident, and in control manner, right? And you'll notice how your spouse will start to change their interactions with you, just like flipping that switch, right? Even if they say, I'm done, I don't want to talk with you, it's over. So I really want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine how your heart will start to race when you see them text you those words, I miss you, or I'm sorry, or hey, can we talk? Hey, can we go out to dinner on Friday? There's some things that have been on my mind, right? Imagine how happy and safe you will feel as you come back home, or as they come back home, or as a member of our group, like one of our clients here shared, they were able to go back to their marital bedroom together. And the client win that I shared up here, even after 9 months of separation, they were back in sharing the same bed and cuddling together. And planning the Christmas plans together, right? And how awesome that feels, right? And so I want you to think about how amazing that will feel to wrap your arms around them, to hear them say, I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. I made a huge mistake. I want you back. And you just breathe in their familiar scent, and you know in your heart and your soul that everything is going to be okay. And that weight is just lifted off your shoulders. And there's no longer any of that fear or worry pressing on your mind. And think about how amazing you'll be able to sleep, right? This is the things that our clients are experiencing right now. And you don't have that knot of anxiety in your stomach and the heavy burden you feel on your shoulders pressing down on your chest. You wake up feeling whole and you wake up feeling complete and you know that everything is going to be okay. And imagine the look on your children's faces and how easy and light things feel now in your home. Imagine the security and the peace you will feel knowing that your relationship is now more connected, more unified, more secure, more healthy, and more loving than it ever was before. Okay. And now that they're taking steps towards you, it's really important that you resolve any issues, any of that lingering hurt that Megan was talking about, right? Any lingering patterns that I'm seeing here in your comments and those that are listening, right? That are going on right now between you so that you can build a healthy and lasting and sure foundation. Okay. And here is where we go on to step three, which is what we're going to go into deeper next week. And here is where they will actually want to become a better person themselves. They'll want to improve themselves. They'll want to improve the relationship and they'll actually want to be a better spouse. And so will you. And here is where we really start to change that story or the belief that they have. So, Megan, I don't know what the details are going on inside of this affair and why he's with this other woman and what's caused all of this hurt. So I'd love to chat with you and see what we can do, to get you going forward. But oftentimes they have a very negative belief or story about you. We talked about that beautiful, fun, passionate connection where they're building all this desire for you. And then over time, that desire starts to wane. And then we have all the pressures of life. And then things become, different priorities. And there's different childhood trauma. And like people make different choices, right? And then they start to say, my wife, blah, 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 insert blank about the story, right? She doesn't support me, or she doesn't provide what I need, or she this, right? And we go into this story or this negative narrative about our spouse, and we create a story too about our spouse. So we do it on both sides. And now in step three is where we wipe the slate clean and where we choose to set down the stories, where we help you let the story go that you have about your spouse so you can see them for who they really are. Instead of through this negative lens, and that they can let the negative story that they have about you so that they can see you with fresh eyes and they can see you for who you really are. and let that story go. Because as we know, those stories are so powerful that unless we help our spouse let that story go, then they will not likely come back to us because it's their defense mechanism. It's keeping them from pain or it's justifying their actions. And so we need to help them see you for who you really are so that they come back to you for the right reasons because they love you and accept you for who you really are. All right. And so here in step three is where we're going to wipe the slate clean and forgive and heal the past and start to see each other with fresh eyes so that then we can create a healthy, secure, strong foundation for an even happier marriage than you have ever had before. That is our intention. And we do that in step three, which is all about creating and deepening connection. All right, I see some more questions coming in. I'm going to see if I can wrap this up with a few of them. Yeah, I just want another chance at our marriage. I'm not sure if he does yet. And that's probably true. It's more often than not that our clients start and their spouse does not want to work on things with you. And they may not even want to be in the relationship. I encourage you, Megan, if you have not, go ahead and check out Leah, our client, her story on our YouTube channel. We'll post a link to that as well because she was in somewhat of a similar situation where her husband was in love with another woman and having an affair with her and said, I'm done. I want out and I'm not willing to go to therapy. I'm not going to do coaching. I'm not going to listen to that podcast. I'm not going to do any of those things. And she went through this process of hitting the pause button, of him taking steps towards her, of him being the one asking her to spend time with him and reaching out to her, wanting to be with her, wanting to talk about things, wanting to resolve things, wanting to work on things. So that's a really clear indication right there that you haven't hit this milestone yet, but we'll absolutely get you there. And it's an amazing feeling. I want you to really think about this, how different it will feel to have your spouse be the one that wants to spend time with you. And is even inventing excuses just to be around you, right? And so it's an amazing thing. And how different would that feel than where you're at right now? It's very different for me as well, because in my relationship, I've shared this before, I tend to be the pursuer and my husband tends to be the avoider. And so when he pursues me, I love that feeling because it feels like an immense amount of relief that I no longer have to just chase after him, but he's willing and wanting to spend time with me, which brings things back into that beautiful balance and that connection that just draws you two together. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. I know there are more comments coming in. So again, leave a comment, flip the switch, and we will reach out to you and answer every single one of them and show you how coaching with us will help you get there and help your spouse want to chase after you, want to spend time with you. Now, here in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group, we're going to do something really fun over Thanksgiving. Most people, like most companies, I don't know if this like is a huge like turn off to you guys. They're always like pushing like buy my thing. It's like 50% off, buy my thing. And it's all over the place. And I just find it kind of repulsive. So instead of doing that to you guys, because I don't want to do that to you guys, I'm actually going to be giving you guys something. So make sure you pay attention to that. And if you want the game plan, that's a bit of a teaser of what's coming. Comment game plan because we are giving a game plan of what we use to help our clients successfully go from point A, where you guys are right now, separated, unhappy, having affairs going on, all of this hurt, all of this confusion, even narcissism, to point B, where you're happy and you're healthy and you're whole. So that's what's coming up this week. Encourage you guys to check in over the holidays. It's going to be really fun. And we want to give that to you guys. Because I think that you're worth it and you are. That's the truth, is that you are worth it. So I love you guys. Awesome. Amber, you got it. Donna, Tammy, Dawn, Lindsay, you got it. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. My heart, my love, my appreciation flows out to you. You are worthy of love. You are deserving. And I cannot wait to see your marriage thrive.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.